Hey, welcome back everyone to the channel. Make sure to check me out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. The information will be in the description box down below. Tonight, I'm giving you four tales from everything from camping to Massachusetts to Iraq to just horrifying tales. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. I am a 25-year-old male. I live in Utah, and I'm curious if any of you have seen anything like this before. I'm pretty sure I saw a Wendigo or a Skinwalker. I know it sounds strange or crazy. I don't really believe in those things, and I'm a regular skeptic when it comes to the paranormal. This all happened to me when I was 17 and in high school and living with my parents. My house at the time was in a very small town. The backyard faced open empty fields and mountains for miles before you reached another civilization at all. My best friend lived next door and shared this field as our backyard in a way. I have to explain that his house sat was built on a different street that ended in the field with a small cul-de-sac. I think there was supposed to be more houses built down this street to expand the town, but they clearly never got around to it. So his driveway was basically in this cul-de-sac, even though no other houses were built there. This matters later in the story. I used to stay the night at my friend's house a lot in high school because I didn't have the best relationship with my parents. Every once in a while, we would wake up to hear dragging and this weird gargling sound from the back porch. His room was the basement room with the window well to the back porch. It would happen maybe a couple of times a month, but whenever we would gather the courage to check, nothing would be back there. This happened for years. One night haunts my friend and I to this day. My friend was getting ready to move, and we would stay up all night playing video games and watching movies. We decided to go on a music drive to just vibe. So we hopped in his truck with the high beams and swung out of the driveway, turning them on towards the field to use the roundabout. The light illuminated this thing. It looked like a person, but it wasn't. It was naked on all fours, abnormally large, particularly its limbs, that seemed to fold under itself in an unnatural way. Its pale skin clung to it like it had been stretched onto it. But the part that sends shivers down my spine was its face. Its jaw hung open to this gaping black maw, like a snake unhinging its jaw to eat. Its black eyes glistened in the light as it looked at us. But just as it turned to see us, it quickly scurried backwards, almost as if it was on rewind, into the brush of the field. My friend and I were pale as ghosts. We both looked at each other like, "Did you see that too?" We were shaken. Let's just say we tried to have a good rest of the night, but we couldn't believe what we saw. We ended up just sitting there in his basement with the guns ready and waiting to hear gargling and the dragging again, but we never did. Sorry, that's it. Not very climatic, but it's the truth. Now, I don't live in that town anymore, but there are times I visit there though. That empty field still feels like it's watching and waiting. Even though I can't see it, I can still feel like it's out there. I was never one for cave exploration. In fact, I'd always been deathly afraid of the dark, cramped spaces. But as a sergeant in the military, I don't have a choice when I am assigned to a special ops team in Iraq. It was 2003, and our team was on a mission to take out a group of high-ranking terrorists in the mountains. We had been at it for weeks, trudging through the harsh terrain and dealing with the scorching heat. So when one night we started hearing strange noises coming from a nearby cave, close to where we were sleeping, my commanding officer didn't hesitate to send me and another soldier, a young private named Jones, to investigate. I tried the protest, but the sergeant was having none of it. "You two have the best weapons. he said gruffly. I need you to go in there and see what's making those noises, and be careful.
But what makes those sounds? Some animal? I asked.
I have no frickin' idea, but it's loud and strange, the sergeant responded. I hope it's not Iraq forces hiding there. If you see any of them, immediately call for backup. It could be a secret base or whatever.
Why would there be noises from a hidden Iraqi base? Jones asked.
It can't be an OP4 base. They would stay silent, trying to stay hidden. I think it's just some stupid animal.
Well, you'll find out in no time, the sergeant said. Be back before midnight.
I swallowed hard and tried to steady my nerves as Jones and I made our way into the dark cave, our flashlights our only source of light. As we moved deeper into the cave, the strange noises grew louder and more distinct. It sounded like a cross between a growl and a hiss, and it sent shivers down my spine. I knew we were in way over our heads, but it was too late to turn back. We had to find out what was making those noises, no matter the cost. Whatever it was, it constantly made these strange sounds. It ended for 1 or 2 seconds, then it would start again. The cave was a twisted, winding labyrinth of darkness. As we made our way deeper into its depths, the air grew colder and damper. The walls seemed to close in around us, and I could feel the weight of the mountain above us bearing down. Our flashlights barely penetrated the thick darkness, casting shadows that seemed to dance and wiggle along the walls. The floor was slippery beneath our feet, and I could feel the wetness seeping through my boots. The strange noises echoed all around us, seeming to come from every direction at once. It was impossible to tell how far we had to go, or what laid ahead. All I knew was that we had to keep moving, to find out what was making those noises and put a stop to it. I tried to stay focused, to keep my mind on the mission, but it was hard, with the darkness and the cold and the constant menacing sounds. I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched, that something was stalking us through the shadows. I glanced at Jones and saw the fear in his eyes. I knew he was thinking the same thing. We were in over our heads, and there was no telling what we would find in the darkness of that cave. It was so strange when we were sent in. We both thought it must have been some strange animal, but at that moment, we both feared something horrifying. That sound became louder and louder. As we went on, the thick cave laid into a much larger space full of other caves, all of them leading somewhere else. There was a huge space above us. We felt like we could dig through the ceiling and immediately reach the top of the mountain.
Look, skeletons, Jones said, pointing his gun and flashlight towards a pile of corpses.
Looks like there really were Iraqis down here, eh?
I walked closer to it. The skeletons were in military uniforms, no question. They were part of the Iraqi forces.
Can you tell how they died?
Let's see. Jones kneeled beside the corpses. He had some medical knowledge. I hoped he could say something interesting.
Looks like their skull was crushed with something, but I think it wasn't a stone. It rather looks like they were killed by some animal with a strong hand, maybe even hit with claws.
So it was just some animal, like we said. Nothing to worry about.
Are you crazy? He glanced at me.
I could see fear in his eyes. These are armed soldiers, and something could still kill them. I think we should get the F out of here.
I don't see any weapons, I said, looking closer at the bodies. One of them had a pocket knife, but no rifles or pistols.
The strange sound was louder than before. It sounded like it was coming from one of the smaller caves. It looked like a frickin' labyrinth, and I thought that I could hear some Iraqi sentences too, but maybe I was just hallucinating.
Behind you!
Jones shouted, pointing his rifle towards something behind my back. I immediately raised my gun and looked behind me, and there it was. Some green creature with multiple legs and arms. I couldn't count how many. It was kinda humanoid, but it had no eyes. Its skin was greenish, but I couldn't remember any more details. My brain tried to forget it as much as possible.
The creature screamed as we both fired at it, then collapsed, soaking in its own blood. We were almost crapping ourselves. We never saw something like that before. Then we heard even more screams. I looked around, and they were everywhere. I think there were almost 30 of those frickin' things. One jumped at Jones, hitting his head with its strange hands, then grabbing through its flesh with the terrifying claws, ripping his head from his body.
"Need backup! Need backup!"
I shouted into my radio. "Jones is KIA! Repeat, Jones is KIA!
These things are everywhere! Send backup immediately!"
I retreated as I was still shouting at them, trying to keep them away, as they were screaming even louder with their terrible voices. I entered that one tunnel where we came from and ran. I was lucky they didn't follow me. I was so relieved when I finally reached the end of the tunnel, then immediately collapsed on the ground as the other soldiers were rushing towards me. I woke up in our medical tent, with the sergeant beside my bed.
"What the hell was down there?" he asked. "I sent down a frickin' team of 20 after you came back, and they all died. What the hell killed them and Jones?"
"I don't know. I don't know." I almost cried. It was so surreal.
"They're creatures. Frickin' creatures with tons of limbs and no eyes. And those terrible screams."
"I'll have to speak to the higher-ups."
I don't know who decided what to do next, but later the sergeant told me to never speak about these events to anyone. I don't agree with his decision. These things are living underground, and they could easily kill us. Everyone should know about them. I sat by the fire and exhaled slowly before taking in the cool night air. The fire danced and crackled along to its natural rhythm, and the hidden army of crickets soon took up their famous chirp. This time used to be my favorite part of camping, just immersing myself in the calm solitude these mountains never failed to provide, while watching the dusk fade into the night was always the perfect way to end a long spent day in the woods. I was deep in thought when something pulled me quite violently out of my thoughts and filled me with dread, and I felt like I was being watched. The crickets had stopped and been replaced by a low, almost musical humming that seemed to come from all around my camp, just outside the firelight. I peered into the inky abyss between the trees illuminated by my fire, attempting in vain to find the source of this noise. I have a history of occasional auditory hallucinations, usually before and after sleep, so I chalked it up to exhaustion and decided to turn it in for the night. After kicking out my fire, which was already burning low, the humming seemed to slowly get louder and closer, but I still thought it was only my hallucination at the time, so I ignored it and continued over to my tent. By the time I was zipped up in my sleeping bag, the humming was nearly deafening, so I sat curled up in a fetal position at the bottom of my sleeping bag with my hands clutched over my ears. The noise was still growing closer, to the point where I had felt it more than I heard. The sound of the freight train thundering all around my camp, vibrating the very earth I laid on. It got closer and closer, louder than I thought possible. And just when I thought surely my eardrums would give out from the pressure and I would be deaf, it stopped. At this point, I was too shaken to move or really do anything. No way I could make it to my car, so I sat there shaking and crying, eventually drifting off to sleep. When I woke up, the events of the night before were completely off my mind. I lazily started a fire to make breakfast and coffee, and it wasn't until the coffee was halfway brewed, and I was absent-mindedly staring into the open flame that the trauma I had experienced the night before slowly started seeping its way back into my thoughts. I sat down next to the fire and contemplated the events from the night before. No hallucination I have ever experienced had ever been louder than a normal speaking voice, and perhaps more importantly, I felt the ground shake with my whole body, and my hallucinations have never been more than auditory. I knew logically that it couldn't be a simple hallucination, but at the time I was a strict skeptic, and another explanation eluded me, so I decided to continue my camping trip.
Not only that, but I already took the time off work and couldn't get another chance to come back out here for a while, so I desperately didn't want to shorten my already limited time camping. After deciding to ignore the events of the night before, I enjoyed my camping trip like any other. I hiked, fished, and even went for a very cold swim in a nearby lake. My trauma, almost entirely forgotten in the light of the day, was easy to ignore without any physical evidence or lasting damage. By the time I made my way back, the shadows had grown long, and the sunlight had grown orange. So I immediately started getting a fire going when a familiar dread crept its way back into my psyche with its accompanying hum. I quickly turned away from my unfinished campfire to scan the tree line for any unseen observer and caught movement in the corner of my eye. But naturally, by the time my head snapped over, there was nothing to see but trees and the fading sunlight, and the faint sound of the humming. Cold terror shot down my spine, and voices that didn't feel like mine filled my head with the words, "Go away," in a panicked voice. I may have a history of hallucinations, but this was simply too much. I was going home. I started taking down my tent, hoping to get cleaned up before the sun left me alone in the dark. But the feeling of dread was growing worse and the sun was fading faster than I thought it would. I was still struggling to fit everything into the bag with shaking hands when I looked up to watch the sunset fall beneath the horizon and felt a much worse sense of dread settling deep within me. I saw a tall figure creeping towards me through the trees in the post-sunset light, pale and upright, but too far away to make out details beyond that. The humming noise grew with the approach of this mysterious creature, causing me to freeze in place for a couple of seconds before grabbing my keys and bolting to my car. But not before noticing the thing take off towards me as soon as I moved with my keys. I was enveloped by the ever-present humming that terrified me the night before, but in the moment it felt only comforting, like an old friend who had my back. I pulled open the door to my car and felt something sharp graze my shoulder as I slid in and slammed the door. I looked out the window and this thing was running full tilt at my car, but only moving backwards. Something was not only keeping it at bay, but actually pushing back this horrifying white thing that threatened my life and injured my shoulder. The buzzing was so loud, louder than it had been before, and the space in front of the creature was blurry, obstructing my view, but I had no time to contemplate the implications of these facts. I yanked my car into drive and broke every speed limit on the way home. I still don't know what that thing was, but I'm thankful for whatever made that buzzing noise, and I think it saved my life. I'm also not too broken up about leaving my camping supplies behind. I'm sticking to the city from now on.